Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your host. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk.
Father, we just thank you so much for today. We ask that you would just be here in the midst of this conversation. Help us, Father, to honor you and to direct honor and glory towards you in our conversation. We just pray that, again, you would be in the midst, that you would speak, that it would be your words that are heard, your voice that's echoed far above and beyond ours. We just thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praying at the beginning of this one was very fitting
for what we're going to talk about. Right? What's it called? So what are we going to talk about today?
So we're talking about the up time. And we have a discipleship track that we use. And there's three things that Jesus did. He went up to the Father.
Yep.
And you see him constantly pull away from the crowds and go and spend time with the Father.
Yes.
I think is an example for us more
Absolutely.
Than anything, because I mean, he was one with the Father. Mm-hmm. So, but also then there's the in, which is time with fellow believers. That's your iron sharpens iron time, which, there's a lot you could talk about with unity in that.
Oh, absolutely.
But today we're going to focus on up. Maybe we can hit those as like,
Hit
each one.
Yeah. We'll touch them.
Yeah, we'll do that.
I'm sure.
The uptime is that, and then out, you see him, go from, his uptime to his inner discipleship with his with his disciples, and then his outtime where he just spoke to the crowds.
Yeah.
And he just kind of had this rhythm kind of going through over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what is that? That's a model for us to follow.
Yeah.
Like he was showing us the way.
Yeah.
No, and so when we think about what we're doing in our lives, are we doing all three of those things regularly?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we have to do them all in the same day.
Yeah.
But I think this one particularly we should try to do every day.
Yeah.
And I have not always been good at doing it every day, especially in busy seasons.
Yeah.
And even when I was fully in ministry at a church as a leader.
Talk about it.
Right? Because we think we know. You know, we get to know the word pretty well, and we know who Jesus is, and we trust him and all those things. And then we kind of sometimes can easily leave him out of the day to day.
Yeah.
And replace him with busyness.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sustain. Mm-hmm. It won't last.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we want to talk about today is part of the unity. I think how this ties to unity is that it helps us to maintain and be in relationship with each other to get our power from the source first.
Absolutely.
And it was like, pray first.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the things. That's why I said that when we prayed.
It's
like,
absolutely.
Hey, let's invite him into this conversation because that's what we're talking about today. And again, like I haven't always done this really well.
Yeah.
But when I do it well, it's different.
Life
is different.
Oh yeah.
And we want to get into like the deeper parts of that, which is fasting and the other things that he calls us to for a reason. You know, I think there's a reason for all of it. And we'll talk about the verses specifically that he talks about that.
Yeah.
But that's what we want to talk about today is just how is our uptime?
Mm-hmm.
How are we spending time with God on a regular basis, getting filled up from within so that we can go out and do the things he's called us to do?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I feel like there's an aspect to unity to each of these, especially when you're talking about the uptime. First and foremost, we have to acknowledge that our unity comes from being connected to the head.
Yeah.
So if you're not connected to the head of the body, which is Christ, then there's a problem there. You need to regularly have that communication and connection with him.
Actually, one of the ways I see this the most.
Yeah.
Is you'll see like themes come through the churches.
Uh-huh.
Like at different times, like when COVID's happening or when this is happening or when this.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see like this theme, especially when you start going to like conferences, start talking to other Christians.
Yeah.
And you're like, why is everybody hearing the same things from God?
That's that echo.
And that's that unity. Yeah. Like if you're not talking to God, you're not going to be hearing the same things as everybody else. Mm-hmm. But if you are, you will find that as you go out into the world and visit other churches and all that kind of stuff, if they're talking to God too, you guys will end up on the same page on a lot of things because God is talking to everybody at the same time, which is kind of crazy.
Speaking to his church. Absolutely.
He speaks to his church all the time. And you see that unity piece up big time in that. I've seen that over and over again. And it's really kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've definitely seen that, the way that he echoes, especially throughout certain cultures. I feel like there's things where it's just almost worldwide, but then there's also things where it's, I mean, in your specific community, within your body of believers that you gather with, you know, your congregation. But then there's just seems to be these themes that will.
Yeah.
End up spreading out, and he's speaking these things over
and it'll
his
bring
church.
People together.
It will, absolutely.
That have similar like callings on their lives. Yeah. Like I've seen that happen too. Like the, all these people want to start a food bank or something and they're like separate. They don't even know each other.
Exactly.
And then somehow they're like, I felt like I was called to come to this place and I met this brother person and they also want to do that. And, and it's not even like there are specific things in ministry.
Yeah.
And that's a very specific thing.
Yeah.
And not everybody is called to that specific thing, but then he'll just bring them together because they're talking to him.
Exactly. Absolutely. And so, yeah, that's our primary connection of unity is the fact that we are in submission and connection to the head. The Christ is what connects us, is what brings us together. So there needs to be a strong relationship there. I believe that's where it all starts, is that strong, unwavering relationship with God. And so I think this is really good to spend some time on the up. And as we even go, I'm going to kind of give a little, not a disclaimer, overview, I guess, but something just to keep in mind, even as we're going through this, as we're spending this time on the up, because it all starts, unity starts there with the head, us being in submission to him, being connected to the head. We're the body because of that. Right. And that's what brings us together. But our table time or our end time, right? Because there's different ways
different
of putting
ways.
This.
Different wording, right? Same thing.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you have your up, in and out, as Brandon was explaining, up, time with God, in, time with your believers, right? Yeah. With other brothers and sisters, iron sharpening iron, and then out is, you know, getting out, serving the crowds and those that are in need, those who are outside of the body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have those different times, but they flow into one another.
Yeah.
And so for that end time to really work well, where possibly you'll see the greatest expression of unity, where it really becomes the alive the most.
Yeah.
That uptime needs to go well.
Yeah.
Because that should
it
be.
It feeds it.
Yeah. That end time is an overflow from that uptime. And then even the out time is an overflow, I would say, from the end time. And then it just kind of ends up cycling around to where when you
need all three.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're getting out there and you're in that out time and you're serving in ways where you're connecting with the problems and the people and the places that God is calling you to, that's going to direct you back to him. Mm-hmm. Either you're going to kind of get so focused on what you're doing there and just and getting into that doo-doo cycle that we talk about,
the
right?
The doo-doo cycle.
And kind of putting your head down and doing it on your own. You're going to have developed that practice through your up and your end time to where you know you have to soak everything in prayer and in God's leading. So that's going to constantly lead you back up to that up time, right? Yep. And
you can't do the up and out without the in, because in is where we get our iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron.
And accountability.
Accountability.
And we can twist. If we just do an up and out, sometimes we can take God's word without discernment.
Yeah.
Or other things that we think are maybe
absolutely
God without discernment is a better way to say that probably.
Absolutely.
And then we miss out on some things. And also he sends, if you see Jesus send him people in twos constantly.
Absolutely. I'm
he didn't
glad
send
you
them
said
in
that.
Ones.
Yep.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Like he didn't do that on accident.
Nope. And I'm so glad you said that, because that even brings up with where Paul's talking about the body being equipped, right? And mm-hmm. you have your apostles, your teachers, your prophets, your evangelists, those that are there to help equip the body mm-hmm. to do the work.
Everybody has different giftings. Yep, we've talked about that
different
before.
Giftings. Yep. And it talks about how all the when we work together and the joints hold us together and support, mm-hmm. then the body's really fulfilling what it's meant to do. And that happens a lot in that end time. And yeah. so it's that end time that's preparing us for the work.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's one of the things, especially within, you know, recent decades, has probably been one of the biggest both issues and struggles and desires of churches, is to move from a place of we're gathering and this is our sole focus to where, no, this is a training and equipping ground.
Yeah.
Right. And because that's what that end time is meant to be, is it's meant to be something that is preparing you. It gets you in connection yeah. with those other people equipping who want to run the food the bank. Right. Yep. Yeah, exactly. It's making those connections to where you go from a finger to a hand that can really do something in the community. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there's place in there for encouragement and mm-hmm. edification and all those things. But you go all the way back to, I'm reading Genesis right now. Right. And God's talking to Abraham. And one of the very first things he tells him is that I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing for others.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's always this idea, all the way from the beginning, God has always set this whole idea up of in communion with you, in relationship with you, like you're going to be blessed because you're going to, you know, you're in relationship with me. You're getting that yeah. uptime. But I'm preparing you in all of this. There is a further goal of it's yeah. not stopping with you. Blessing is going to go mm-hmm. through you to others. And so when that happens, you see this uptime becoming an overflow into that end time, and where the body is blessing each other, sharpening each other, yeah. equipping each other, edifying each other, encouraging each other. What's the word that they use for horses?
Prodding
each other, right? Seriously, like
whipping,
encourage. Yeah, not whip. Let's not whip each other.
No, we're prodding each
what's
other.
It called? Yeah, but prodding each other, like literally yeah. making it uncomfortable for each other, yeah. not to get out.
Growing,
right? Yeah, we're helping
that's
to stretch.
We're
yeah,
to grow and
that's that
and,
iron yeah. sharpening yep. iron, right? It's not a beautiful process all the time. No. It can be painful.
It's not easy,
but it's in love that we're prodding each other, we're yeah. encouraging each other, and we're pushing each other to that out yep. with the love, support, equipping, edification, so that yeah. we can do that well.
And you can see churches that get too inward focused and don't hit the out. There's yeah. a restlessness.
There is.
Because people, I think we're built that way. Like yes. it's built inside of us.
Absolutely.
To the Great Commission is.
Yeah.
And that's what that is. It's like yeah. to get out and share what we've found. And you see that if a church gets too inward focused,
yeah.
then they don't have that. So
yeah.
churches need to live by that up in and out as well.
Absolutely. And especially men. Because men are very activity driven.
Oh, yeah, we want to do something.
We're very activity driven.
Or something.
Exactly. And so I think, and that's interesting because you look at typically in church statistics where the targeting of the enemy happens the most, and where we see lack the most often is in male leadership, right? And males making up more of the church than women, because usually it's women making up more of a church. And a mm-hmm. lot of times you'll hear people bemoan, you know, like women taking up that mantle of spiritual leadership within their home yeah. rather than the man stepping up and doing that. But yeah. when you get more of that, when you get more proactive male leadership, I think that really does help push the church into, yeah. no, we're going to be active.
Right. And sometimes that takes the main church leaders pushing that mm-hmm. out.
Absolutely.
And making that a place where those men can get in yeah. and do those things yeah. that they want to do.
Absolutely. And it's not nothing against, because it's not saying that churches that have, you know, that there's majority of women or women in yeah. church don't get out and do things. Do we have to go beyond Mother Teresa?
No.
There's like so many examples of women doing amazing things for the kingdom and getting out and doing things. But just in a general sense, we, again, going back to that in recent decades, that concern of church not really getting out. And you see in a general sense in recent decades, men not taking up that mantle of spiritual leadership and being active in the church. And so just because of the way that we're built with men and women, men are more, let's go do things together, while women tend to be, let's get together, let's talk and let's hang out. But men, they're hanging out. We're going to do a project. And so there's that, just that activity that's kind of built into us to where we want to move into that out phase. So to say all of that, we're going to track back up to this end.
I do want to.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
This is actually kind of a really sad statistic that I just heard.
Okay.
From Kerry Newhoff, who's a big leadership guy in the church. And they did they must have done some sort of,
poll.
Poll. Census, that's the word I was looking for. And they got a recent statistic indicates that only 1% of pastors believe their church is very effective at reaching new people through evangelism. So overall, we get to that later probably.
Yeah.
That the out is not something that churches are doing well or feel like they're doing well.
Yeah.
And so we'll get to that.
Yeah. And if we're trying to.
That's a big unity piece too.
Absolutely. And if we're trying to really affect that, because again, recent decades, that's been something we've bemoaned and whatnot. If we're really trying to change that and affect that, well, then that means we have to go back and work our way back through this cycle, because it overflows from the in and that overflows from the up.
Yeah.
And some people would even say, well, man, like we have great church services. Right.
Yeah. One, that is evangelism to some degree.
That is.
Because you got people coming in that have never been to a church before. And hopefully, people are inviting people within the church. And that is part of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I think they probably do discount that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at that as part of their evangelism, maybe. Yeah. For it to be that low, like 1% is low. Yeah,
that is.
And there's definitely people coming to church, coming to God through the church services. But as far as like getting out there, I think, and doing different things within their community,
exactly.
I think that's what they're talking about more.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I think is lacking and can be improved.
Absolutely. And I think when you're looking at that, so if you're going as a full church body, then you would say that uptime is pretty much your worship time. Right. And the time that you're spending together in congregational worship
as a congregational thing.
And that can be sweet. Right.
Oh, totally.
And then that end time, what you're doing as a congregational time, your potlucks on Sundays and those different events, those can be sweet moments.
Or even just the lobby after church and stuff like that can be a very good end time.
Exactly. And then that out time again would likely come back to the few things that you are doing congregationally as a church, which most of the time is that Sunday service and inviting people or to the midweek and what that might be. But if we're trying to measure in a sense of what are our individual believers doing in the community and getting out, well, then we kind of need to track back and say, well, what is that individual end time looking like outside of just that corporate get together? That we've now made a strong habit, which is good because you want to build these habits on every level, right?
Yeah.
But beyond that end time of corporate get together, how are they doing and spending end time with other believers and connecting with other believers throughout the week and that type of thing? And then also, being challenged by one another, because I feel like that's really where we're going to get into those deeper personal challenges of people challenging you and by challenging, I don't mean like always confronting
in
a competitive
helping way.
Yeah. Just helping, encouraging, edifying and being able to see in your personal life things that they can speak towards and encourage you in versus what you would get in that corporate setting. Because in the corporate setting, they're not going to see how you're interacting with your family.
Mm.
you know, at your home.
Well, that's
why
I think
basis.
Small groups are an important part of any church's end time.
Absolutely.
Because that's where you're actually getting deep with people.
Yeah.
And allowing them into your lives and praying for each other individually. You don't usually do that in the lobby of a church as much. You can.
You can.
But it's not the same as like meeting with a group of people in your home.
Exactly.
Or in someone's home.
Yeah, absolutely. And just building those relationships to where you're spending time together and quality time and playing games and having barbecues, going to birthday parties,
having fun too,
right?
Yeah. Totally.
And so, but that just allows you to see more of each other's life and talk more about things in your personal life and individual life. And then same thing with that uptime. How are you doing individually with your uptime, which is going to be some of what we're getting into today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, honestly, like I was thinking of the out and how we're struggling with that. I think a lot of a way out of that is to actually spend more time in the up. Because I think one thing that doesn't happen in the up probably as much as it could. Like usually when we think of our time with God, like what are you thinking of? Like, what are you doing with that time? Is it just like, God, I need this and I need that, you know? Or is it like, God, or is it like the Lord's Prayer? And we could talk about that in a minute, but are we spending some time like worshiping him? Mm-hmm. Are we spending some time like recognizing his authority over our lives?
Absolutely.
And maybe some surrender time within that. Mm-hmm. And then we can do our asks and stuff. But in that ask, are we asking like, God, how do you want to use me tomorrow?
Come on.
Or today? And I don't know that we ask that enough.
Exactly.
And maybe not enough as a church, like corporate prayer where we go like, God, what are you calling our church to do this week? Like, I haven't heard that prayer a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like we do it sometimes, but I haven't heard it. Like, it's not a weekly thing. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you calling our church and our people to this week?
Yeah.
But I think it needs to be also individual.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. Through the individual, those ideas and those things that God wants us to do will come to the surface, and then they can be brought to those small groups.
Absolutely.
And when we get into the out more, we could talk about like the micro and macro levels of that. Cause I don't think it all has to be like this massive church event either.
No.
Cause I think that's actually part of the problem
is
that we think it needs to be that. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to do on a regular basis and not without burning people out.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be like the big events and then like small ones. We can talk about that more later. No,
absolutely.
But let's get back to the up because I think that's just something to think about when we're doing our up is like, how are we asking God more than just what we need, but how we can serve the needs of others.
Exactly.
And I don't do that enough. Again, like these are, anytime I'm talking on here, I'm always just like, that's what I needed to be doing that more.
I hear you.
And that's where I think we get into fasting too. I've done a number of fasts over the years, and every single time it's yielded something. And a lot of times they were personal, like God, what about this for me? This is challenged me a little bit to be like, what if I fasted not because I needed something really important, which that's the times that I've most commonly fasted.
Yeah.
But what if we took that time to really ask God, like, how do you want me to serve? How do you want me to do my out?
Yeah.
And it's definitely like there's been ones that are around that. Like the most recent one I did was definitely around that.
Yeah.
Or around the out. But fasting is something, and I did want to talk about that a little bit because there's a verse and I'm going to read it because it has this thing and I've heard this preached before and I really love it because.
And I'm assuming, because we didn't say exactly which one, I'm assuming you're looking at Matthew 6.
Matthew 6, 16,
Okay. Before we touch that one specifically, do you mind if I just kind of brief go over some of the earlier stuff here? So Jesus is talking to a crowd here, and he's calling out some of the Pharisees and religious rulers and whatnot and scribes, and he is giving people some instruction that really leads to this idea of putting the kingdom first and seeking the kingdom of God first and storing your treasures there. But what's really cool is that as he's doing this, he's pointing out some practices that are righteous practices, meaning that these are good things to do.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we can get confused with this idea of, don't do these things like the Pharisees, and sometimes think that okay, we don't, they're not as important. We don't need to do those things.
Yeah, we don't do them at all.
But really, yeah. even as we were talking about earlier, yeah. is that really this was part of the regular rhythms of their yeah. life. And or
way more
things
so
that were encouraged
now.
To be regular yeah. rhythms of their life. And these are things that you saw Jesus and the apostles regularly practice and the early church regularly practice yeah. these things. And so he's encouraging us. He's talking about beware before practicing your righteousness before others. He's not saying not to do these or they're not as
he's
important.
How you do it.
He's talking about how you do it yeah. in your heart position. But in that, you'll notice he's saying when, right? And so he's actually expecting us to do all these things.
Yeah.
And so he talks about.
Yeah, that's what I was going to yeah. say. The when.
Right? And so he, so it talks about when you give to the poor, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So that's an expectation.
That's an expectation of
believers.
Anytime
he says when, he's not saying if.
Yeah, right? And so he's saying when you give to the poor, he's expecting us that we'll be giving to the poor. He says, and that's in verse 3. Verse 5, he says, when you pray, he's expecting us to have a regular prayer life, yeah. right? And then he also goes on in verse 7, he says, when you pray, do not use empty meanings. So he's given a few instructions here on prayer.
And how to
and
pray.
And that's how we actually ends up dropping the yeah. Lord's Prayer in here and giving us an example, mm-hmm. which is really big. I feel like that's something that we can definitely touch on
yeah.
on this uptime. And then he talks about verse 16. He comes into when you fast, right?
Yeah.
So go ahead and
Do that one?
Yeah, okay. Good.
So this is, yeah, verse 16. And he says, when you fast. And then again, he's like kind of saying what they're doing wrong mm-hmm. just to help us understand like
yeah,
what this is actually for.
Exactly.
Right. So when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now, so that's really important because yes. when we fast, mm. the first time you ever fast, you're definitely going to want to tell people about it. Mm-hmm. You'll be like, man, I'm so hungry. Mm-hmm. And because it's different. Like if you're doing a real fast, and by the way, a real fast, biblical fast mm-hmm. is actually a abstaining from food. And mm-hmm. people do all kinds of other fasts. Like, mm-hmm. social media stuff. And that's great.
Yeah.
It's not the same as doing food because the food is like that basic necessity that your body just needs.
Absolutely.
And it is something that will push you a lot more than any of those other things, mm-hmm. I believe. And that's it's good to do all those other ones. But he says, don't just make a big deal about it to all your friends. Mm-hmm. Cause then he's like, okay, you got what you wanted out of it, mm-hmm. which was to be seen.
Yeah. To be seen by others.
And he said, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. And that's because sometimes we can get a little, mm-hmm. I don't think people really notice that these days. Mm. So I don't know that you have to do that part. But what he's saying is just, you know, make yourself look good. Don't yeah. try to look disheveled.
Yeah,
like,
don't
like
look
you're having the worst time of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
And be like, and just be like, oh man, you know, this, I just don't feel good right now.
Right.
You know,
I'm
to
so
everybody.
Struggling.
Yeah.
yeah.
Even if you don't say it, but you say it in that way. Mm-hmm. You say, no, like show everybody that you're fine. Mm-hmm. And you're, and cause this is between you and God. And it says, so put oil on your head, wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, mm-hmm. but only to your Father who is unseen, only to your Father. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So again, he says, when, mm-hmm. so he's expecting, and this is Jesus talking, right? So he's yeah. expecting that at some point his followers are going to fast.
Yeah.
And there is another verse that says they were actually calling out his followers for not fasting. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I'm here with them right now.
Exactly.
But they will fast later. Mm-hmm. And he says they're going to fast.
Exactly.
They're just not doing it right now because I'm right here
yeah.
and they don't need to. Because mm-hmm. fasting is, and actually you could look at that verse as being like, okay, they're in direct communication with the Lord
with
and Savior.
Yeah.
and so what it,
absolutely.
That, and that means they don't have to fast. Mm-hmm. So what does fasting do?
Yeah.
Puts us in direct communication with yeah. Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Like, cause you know, when we're constantly focused on food or all those other things are important mm-hmm. to fast from as well. Like social yeah. media, I do believe is a huge distraction to us. And so fasting from that as well as food, I think would be mm-hmm. a really good fast because, and what I was trained to do is like when you're fasting, like every time you get hungry, You just pray. Turn your eyes to God and go like, God, I want the bread of life. Mm-hmm. I want your bread right now.
Exactly.
Because that's going to sustain me more than just food right now. And so you take that time to listen and try to hear from God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it definitely, I was talking with a friend just even recently about fasting and different ways that you can do it and purposes behind it. And it really does help just increase, give you a better awareness, sensitivity mm-hmm. to the Spirit of God. Yeah. You're pulling back on the strength of your flesh and increasing the vitality and the strength of your spirit as you're doing a fast. And so there's anyone who has gone through a fast can give, you know, witness to this, that when you are fasting, it just seems like you're a lot more in tune to God and what he's saying and his presence. And so it's not that he wasn't there before, because mm-hmm. he is.
He's there.
But there is a kind of an opening of the ears and an opening of the eyes and just a better intimacy that we end up sharing with God during that time. And part of it is, I believe part of it is some of that just natural occurrence of you taking the food away mm-hmm. and spending more time in prayer. And some of it is just, I think also, some of it is this aspect of you are willingly sacrificing and putting some things down as an act of worship, mm-hmm. right? And so you're kind of going through this act of worship, and worship is how is the way that we approach God, right? He responds to our worship.
Yeah.
And so this is something that fasting is just something that we should regularly work in.
Yeah,
we should regularly work in and try to, and not just like regularly work in as an intermittent fast type of deal where you're doing it for health reasons, but really giving yourself those times, those moments, those windows where you are, whether it's every year you do a fast. Some people fast every week but they're setting aside some time and they're increasing their focus on God and prayer and worship.
And isn't it cool though that there now that science is caught up with all this stuff?
Oh yeah,
that there are massive benefits to fasting.
Absolutely.
So Jesus was way ahead of the game, right? As far as us understanding how good fasting is for you. Like one of the things that it puts in, I just did a quick search on it because I know that I've done this before. Mm-hmm. But it says enhanced brain function.
Yep, exactly. I was like just about to say that.
Of fasting, right? So like just your clarity.
Yep.
Being able to like maybe get some clarity from God comes. And that's, I mean, he made our bodies. So this all makes sense.
Absolutely.
But I love that science in this particular instance is very good at like proving that what Jesus said was a good for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not beyond the spiritual, but also the spiritual.
But also the spiritual. And realizing that there's a connection there.
Yeah.
And
totally.
I mean, this idea that your brain is functioning at a higher capacity and you're getting clarity, and now you're able to, you know, hear and see what God is doing better. That just kind of lines up that your senses are more in tune to things that they normally wouldn't be when your brain is functioning at a higher capacity.
Yeah. So. And even one other one that's in there, cellular repair and longevity. Yep,
absolutely.
So while you're fasting and connecting with God, your body is actually
healing itself.
And there's a healing that happens within that.
Absolutely.
Like how cool is that?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's,
can't
make this up, folks.
No, exactly. And this is literally why some people, again, that's why I was saying, you know, and it's not just, oh, I'm intermittent fasting regularly. Some people do that now because they're realizing these benefits.
Yeah.
Right.
So
they're realizing it's better for their body.
Just because it's good for their bodies.
Right.
But beyond that, it's also good for our spiritual health.
Absolutely.
And if we really want to hear from God. And the times that I've fasted, and I haven't done a ton of fasts. I actually want to do more. I think I'm going to start making it a more like monthly, at least
setting a rhythm,
maybe weekly, but at least monthly rhythm of fasting. Mm-hmm. Because again, like if we don't, I think I've always kind of waited for there to be like this huge decision to do a fast, and we've done that, and or a big ask, Mm-hmm. And
yeah, like a big corporate fast where the church is.
Yeah, and we've done the corporate ones. So actually, one of this, just a quick story. So like this, I think it was like the second time I had ever fasted. We did a fasting and prayer thing. It was mm-hmm. like, and we did a 24-hour prayer thing at our church, nice. Which was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So basically that meant like people just took sections so that at least someone in our church was praying for mm-hmm. 24 hours a day. And yeah. I think we did, I don't know if we just did one day, if it was a couple of days, but mm-hmm. during the time that I was praying and I had been fasting too, and we were actually praying specifically for an adoption at that point and for a baby.
Yeah.
And this is kind of cool because, and we actually didn't end up adopting these kids, but we did end up, I do believe it was a God thing.
Yeah.
We got a call from someone who knew someone in our church and kids from their daycare were going into the foster care system and they were really worried they were just going to get lost to random people.
Yeah.
And she knew that we were in the middle of praying for that. And it was like, it was like the day after.
Wow.
And so she called us, we put out an inquiry with the social workers that we had. And they found them and they got placed with us.
Wow.
And because they got placed with us and not somebody else, we actually kept them in that daycare.
Yeah.
Which the daycare workers were there. They were related to them somehow. I think they were like,
oh, wow.
Cousins.
Okay.
But they weren't able to take them. And so, so it just kept them close to some of their family, absolutely. Kept them in their current environment.
Exactly.
Eventually those two kids ended up being adopted by their grandma.
Oh wow!
And she was great, and so it was hard for us, but I really felt like God was like working some things out there because we got to have this. One of them was a baby. It was a sibling set. It was a baby and a 4-year-old.
Wow.
He was like 11 months or 13 months, something like that. Mm. And so, and it was just a really sweet thing. And like, it was right after we got done fasting and praying and it was so like, well, this is an answer.
Yeah.
And then, you could say like, oh, well, we ended up not adopting them. So maybe that was, not an answer to prayer. But I do believe that that was something, one of those out things that God actually called us to.
Absolutely.
And right after that is when we got our youngest.
Wow.
And that is a whole story on its own.
Yeah.
But I do believe that that was an answer to prayer and then also a calling to a service. And we're glad we did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And to know right after that follow up, you get your youngest, right?
Yeah.
And even if we were to say, you know, it's just you receiving your youngest was an answer to that prayer, right?
I do believe that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Was an answer to that prayer. But even before that, God invited you into what he was doing into these kids' lives, right? Seeing something that was in your guys' heart and your desire, he matched that to something he had going on in
that
your community.
That he needed to do.
Right? Yeah. And so that's, to me, that's not only did he answer your prayer, but then he also allowed you to be a part of this amazing thing that he was doing in your community while prayer was being answered during that wait time.
It was a way of him growing us. Yeah. You know, just as I think every time we go through things like that, we really need to look at like, how did God grow me through this thing? Mm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, I wasn't actually planning on talking about that. it is.
No, yeah. That is so good. So fasting is one of those things. Prayer and just regularly engaging in prayer is a big thing. Spending time in your word would be another one of those up things. And these are, again, these are things that we see throughout scripture, right?
Yeah.
There's this one book. I bet you I have it on here somewhere. It's it's a spiritual disciplines of a man or something like that. But you can find books that will encourage, and I'm gonna see if I can look.
You
want to
look it up real quick?
Because
I'll hit something else.
I'm gonna look this up while you're.
Because we were talking about unity, peace, and the up, and hearing from God. And one of the things that I've recently really improved this with is within marriage. So when we talk about God unifying us, I really encourage people now, and for some reason, this has always been hard for us, and I want everybody to know, I think this is really common, because I've talked to a number of people about this, even people within the church, that struggle to pray together as a couple, and have that uptime together. Because, you know, the Bible says that once you are married under God, you become one flesh. So really, when you're praying to God as a couple, you're praying as you're one together to God. And so it's something that we didn't do very well for a long time. And we prayed together sometimes. But I want to just put out a testimony here that we were challenged by a counselor, actually a Christian counselor, to do this more. And we started doing it every single day. And we've just seen an incredible change in our relationship. And you see how God has unified us. And even like us coming together, and when we'll pray separately, so we take turns every day as to who's praying, but we do it together. You start hearing the heart of your spouse, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Because you're hearing what they're praying for. But also, I think God starts talking to both of you together, and then you start seeing some commonalities.
Yeah.
And he brings in that unity piece through the prayers. So uptime as a couple is a huge unity piece for your marriage.
Yes.
And never going back on that. And sometimes we'll still struggle. Sometimes, you know, it's the enemy wants to attack anything that you're doing for good. And so just know that. And that's oftentimes he's going to like interrupt those times that you set aside. Like, yeah, we're going to pray in the morning. First thing we get up, something will come up, you know, and we miss it. And then the next day we're like, oh, we didn't pray yesterday, you know? So that's going to happen. But just keep knowing that that's going to be beneficial to your marriage.
Yeah.
And because God wants to talk to both of you together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially when you're making big decisions on things.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the recent things that I fasted for, is we were making a big decision about something. And I feel like God gave me a clear answer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and that's something I would even encourage also bringing in with your family. Kids.
Yeah, kids too, yeah.
And just trying to practice prayer as a family and extend it beyond, you know, I mean, it's a great place to start praying for your meals and those types of things, but extending it beyond that and just spending that time. Because like you said, when you do get to spend time with people in prayer, you really start to see their heart.
Yeah.
Right. You're starting to see the things that are weighing on them, that are on their hearts, on their minds. And there's an intimacy there that is built in prayer with other people. And so that's something definitely to share with your family.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then I would
also
find
what you're looking for.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's this book, and there's multiple out there, but I remember seeing this one before. I believe I read this one, but it just has a different cover, so I wasn't recognizing it at first. But it's Disciplines of a Godly Man. Mm-hmm. There's also one that's Disciplines of a Godly Woman. And then they go through a lot of these different disciplines, that you can pray, use. And the reason why this came to mind is just because it can give you different practices, different things to focus on for your uptime. Mm-hmm. And so there's some things in here that are more of a general, like live your life this way. For example, like purity. There's things within marriage, fatherhood, friendship, right? But some of these are like discipline of the mind, devotion, prayer, worship, spending time, where is it? Giving, witnessing, practicing ministry. So there's these different things that it talks about that you can end up developing different disciplines, so habits within your life that you're regularly occurring. And so the ones that I was thinking of specifically were things like meditation. Spending time in meditation, spending time in prayer. And usually a lot of times prayer and meditation are coupled together. It's a way of praying, right? Yeah. Is really focusing in on whether it's specific passages, spending quiet time, listening to God, focusing on specific aspects of your life. There's a organization called Kansas City Underground, KC Underground. They have a lot of different prayer guides and suggestions that you can walk through. And I love those things because they give you so many different practices that you can include in prayer, like the Shalom prayer, listening prayer, and so many different types of guides that you can take and try to implement within your prayer life. And so those are good things just to try to include along with, you know, your prayers, your fasting, reading, spending time just in thought reflection on the day. The other day I was at a youth group and a girl was just saying that every night at the camp they were just at, she spent the time before bed just reflecting on the day. And that is such a great practice, whether you do that in the morning, reflecting on your previous day, or you do it at night, reflecting on the day, but reflecting on your day and inviting God into conversation with you about the day. God, what are the things that I did well in that were pleasing to you? What are areas that I could grow? What opportunities did I miss today? Open my eyes to opportunities that I missed. Like open my eyes to things that happened today that I need to revisit. Maybe there was a conversation and something was said and you didn't think much of it, but God brings it to your mind and you need to reach out and revisit that. Right. And then just, so just spending time with God, reflecting on your day, because that's one of those big things to where if you, again, if we look at things like athletes and professionals and artists and all these, they spend time practicing. They train, they practice their habits, their skills, those things that they're doing. When it comes to our walk and our faith walk, we should be doing similarly. And this is one of those things that you'll see a lot of artists, a lot of athletes, a lot of professionals do when they're really excelling. And what they do is they reflect. They spend time reflecting on what they've done, how they can improve, what they did well, and using that moving forward. So that's something that definitely
those are good
things that we can use during our uptime.
Yeah. And I do want to touch a little more on the worship piece too. Cause we talked a little bit about the Lord's Prayer, and one of the first things the Lord's Prayer starts with, if we kind of follow the, the way it goes, he says, hallowed be his name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So the very first part of the prayer is kind of declarative of who God is. And a lot of worship music, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just declaring who God is and what he means to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to start. And then also there's other ways of worship, right?
Absolutely.
Which we talked about, which some of it's sacrifice, like through fasting. It could be the sacrifice of giving.
Absolutely.
Giving is an act of worship.
Absolutely.
And if we really want that uptime to really just show all that we, how we value God and stuff, I think it should include all those things. And so sometimes it's making sure that those things are happening in your uptime too.
Absolutely. The easiest way of giving, the easiest way of defining worship or clarifying what worship means is it's ascribing worth.
Yeah.
Ascribing worship worth is when we're ascribing giving value to something, right? And not even in the sense of you are making it valuable, but you're acknowledging its value.
Which is why idolatry, if you need to know what idolatry is, it's just ascribing worth to something else more than God.
Yeah.
So that's why like money can be an idolatry, fame, all those things can be idolatrous if it becomes more valuable to you than God is.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's one of the reasons why, I mean, you look at your calendar, you look at your pocketbook. Those are going to determine, show you what you value, right?
Could be your phone.
Could be your phone, right? Like you look at those things and it's going to show you what you value. And try to consider those things in alignment with what worth are we ascribing to God? Yeah. What value are we giving him with our time, with our finances, with our efforts, with what we're doing? Everything that we do in life can actually be an act of worship.
Yeah.
Every single thing that we do in life can be an act of worship.
Yeah.
If we invite God into that thing and we,
whatever job you do, like, God, how can I do this job? How can I do this plumbing job?
Yeah.
As best as I can to honor you.
Exactly.
Like, how do I serve my clients in a way that honors you?
Yeah. Yeah. And just bringing him and putting him where he deserves to be, which is at the center of it. Yeah. Right. Putting him at the center of those things, your relationships, your time at work, your hobbies, even all of those things you can do to the glory of God or in relationship with him and making him the center of it.
Yeah.
So absolutely ascribe that worth and worship.
And the reason for that, God absolutely responds to those things.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of times we're like, well, why isn't God answering my prayers? Why isn't God listening to me? Mm. But we're not doing a lot of those things.
Mm-mm.
We're just asking for things.
Yeah.
We're just like, God, help me with this. But all of those, if you look at them, they're relational.
Yes.
And he wants that relationship first.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like, he doesn't want to be a genie in a bottle. Mm-hmm. I've heard that used before. Like,
yeah.
I'm a genie in a bottle. He doesn't want to be Britney Spears. Is what he's saying.
That's exactly.
You know, I was going to do that. That's funny.
Absolutely.
I think we need to understand that, that we need to put him first if we want him to put us first.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad that you said this is a relationship thing, right? Because a lot of this goes back to, again, increasing that sensitivity.
Yeah.
To him, awareness of him, being able to hear and see from him. Because that's usually one of our biggest struggles is awareness of
God,
his action, being
happening.
Able to hear from him and those types of things. Well, as we were talking about, even with fasting, I mean, you're spending time, you're increasing your worship. And we've talked about this before, I believe, and this is a regular conversation I'll have with people that, especially if you've worked in youth ministry, there's something different about youth camps. Right?
Yeah.
And you want to know what the difference is? We're giving more time to God. And so it's not that he wasn't there.
Yeah,
it's just that
he's there on Wednesday night.
Right? And we become more sensitive and aware of him the more we're spending time with him and the more that we're in worship with him. And so if that is a concern within your life where you're thinking, man, I'm not hearing from God, I'm not seeing him, I don't know what's going on, you're feeling kind of isolated, distant, I would say increase your worship.
Yeah.
Increase your worship. Increase your time.
Increase your prayers.
And invest more into that relationship. And you will likely become more aware and more sensitive to how he is there and the things that he is saying.
Yeah.
Right. And with that, I'm going to also give a disclaimer in that I've known people who have gone through dry spills in their relationship with God where they feel like, man, I'm practicing all my good habits and my spiritual disciplines, pursuing God. But I feel kind of distant. I don't feel like I'm hearing from him.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you stop.
Yeah.
Because you're not, this is the thing. If we're doing all of those things to get something from him.
Yeah.
Then,
if it's just a checklist.
If it's a checklist or it's a way of kind of making a transaction, you're like, I give this time in worship and you give me this, you give me this word, you give me this.
Yeah.
No, we're ascribing worth to him and we're giving this time and these efforts towards him and towards knowing him better because he's worth it.
Well, it's realizing he's worth it whether he gives you anything or not.
Exactly.
Right? Because you're here.
Yeah.
Like you're alive.
Yeah.
Like you would not be alive without God.
Mm-hmm.
That is enough.
Yeah.
The rest of it is just icing.
Icing on the cake, right?
But the great thing is that he's willing to do the icing. Like
so
he's willing to do.
He's like the best.
But like you said, there, we might have these dry spells and we're like, well, God forgot about me. He's like, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
No, he didn't forget.
He didn't.
He didn't forget. He's probably trying to teach you something, most likely.
Yeah.
That's usually what's happening.
Yeah. And my encouragement would be stick with it.
Yeah. Stay the course.
Continue through, stay the course. You're going to find yourself at the other end of that valley or, you know, at the top of that hill. And it's going to be all the more worth it having pressed through and remained faithful, because when you get there, you'll realize he is faithful.
Yeah. I bet we can both say that we've been through some valleys, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
And some of them were long valleys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And here we are.
Exactly.
And God is great.
Yeah.
God is good.
And he wasn't absent.
The mountaintops come too.
He wasn't absent. He was working in a way that I wouldn't have been able to seen or acknowledged at that time.
Yeah, usually you see it afterwards.
You see it afterwards. You're like, looking back.
Absolutely. The hindsight is 20/20.
Exactly.
Thing, which is so true.
Absolutely.
Like, I didn't even know he was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I see why it took that long.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Any final thoughts here?
No, I think just sum it up. Like, let's just get into our time with God.
Yeah.
Like whatever that is, and include those things if we can.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, it's just an ask, just to kind of reiterate that, like go through the worship time.
Yeah.
Ascribe the worth that he deserves.
Yeah.
Make him that place in your heart and then see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always a heart posture.
Absolutely.
Always.
And this is, again, I really want to bring us back to, this is one of those things that really does help unite the church, our ascribing worth, acknowledging who God is. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we're a family of worshipers, right? Yeah. And we are able to celebrate and come together and agree on that God is our provider. That God is our shield. He is our exceedingly great reward. I'm pulling things from Genesis because I've been reading that lately, right? We're able to see and acknowledge these things and be able to say, yes, Jesus, he is our Christ. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And it's these things that unite us, that we're under these banners. We're under Jehovah Nissi, mm-hmm. right? We're under his victory. And the fact that he is who he is, and that we can all acknowledge that together, man, that gets us so ready to walk in unity and be in unity as we're talking about that end phase, which we'll have to spend more time on.
And he knows where everybody is. And this just came to my mind.
Now.
Something to pray about is understanding when someone hurts you.
Yeah.
Because we don't always know where that came from.
Yes.
And sometimes we're not asking God for any help in that.
Yeah.
And he knows, he knows what's going on with everybody.
Yeah.
And usually that's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And so why not ask God first how to handle those discussions with those people instead of just lashing out back at them.
Yeah.
When that happens, you know,
how do you approach it with grace?
That's a good
and
unity
mercy.
Part of that,
yeah,
right? Like how can I be praying for the other people in my church?
Yeah.
In that way.
Exactly. Yeah. In my community.
Or just
coworkers,
anywhere.
That turd that cut me off.
God might give you a word for someone and be like, I think of this all the time because I think God's really, the more time you spend with him, the more he'll give you a heart for other people.
Absolutely.
And just being like, what hurt is that coming from?
Mm.
And like actually being genuinely interested in that with people. And then God like might give you something that actually saves their life.
Right.
Like you might say, hey, go ask this person to pray for this specific thing. I've seen many of these on TikTok and stuff people like getting words that they're like, I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to say it. I want to be that bold.
Yeah.
Every time God tells me one of those things that I do that, but I haven't been. But they go and they say is this about, I just sense something in you. God tells me God. And they always preface it. It was like, I don't know if this God or not, but I feel like God's telling me that you, have this hurt around like a brother or something.
Mm.
I've seen that one specifically.
Yeah.
And the guy just like starts weeping and they're like, because he prayed, because he took the time to not just assume like that he knows what's going on. He prayed this prayer and God gave him a word and that word impacted
exactly
that person.
What they needed.
And it was exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
And probably, increase their faith. And now they're following God more than they were before.
Yeah.
Man. So man, if we could do that for more people in the church, seek to understand.
Yeah. That whole triangle, the in, the out, It's all powered. That power all comes from the uptime.
Yeah.
Right. And so everything needs to be an overflow. The overflow starts from there.
That's the power.
Absolutely. And so, and that's what unites us. It's that triangle, and that's what we're under. It's that banner. That's what unites us. So what we're doing in the in, what we're doing in the out is all because of who he is and what happens in the up.
It's good.
All right now. All right.
Can we pray us out?
Yeah, do it.
All right, Lord, we just thank you, God, for being available and for being a person that, or what feels like a person that we can just have a conversation with and meet with on a regular basis. And there's no time limit. There's no nothing keeping us from doing that besides the enemy, Lord. And I just pray against that, and that we can just find that time to be with you as much as possible. And for anybody listening right now, God, that they just find space with you, whether it's in their car or in the morning before the kids get up, or after bedtime, late in the middle of the night, whatever it is, God, I just pray that they find that time to be with you and that you speak to them in mighty ways. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.